You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Fours on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the latest Cleveland Browns draft coverage directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. It is time to go on the blitz around the National Football League. Let's start out in San Francisco. Eric Branch of the San Francisco Chronicle joining us now on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Eric, what is the latest on the Alden Smith and Colin Kaepernick unfortunate off-field situations?
There's no news to report as of today. No charges have been filed against Alden Smith, and who has allegedly made a false bomb threat at LAX. So anyway, there's no news to report as of today. You know, the way things are going in the Kaepernick investigation, you know, which seemed to be positive if you're a 49er fan and, you know, any of the three players involved as news kind of trickles out there. But really, you know, as of today, you know, this morning, just still kind of wait and see.
And the 49ers adding a player, signing wide receiver Brandon Lloyd. What can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. He's going to be 33 when the season starts, and he didn't play in the NFL last year. So, I mean, there's some, you know, real question marks. However, his last year with the when he was the Patriots in 2012, he had 74 catches, 911 yards, and those were, you know, among the highest totals of his career. So, you know, that indicates, unless the 1 year off, you know, that there's too much rust to kick off, that there's still something there. You know, he's been a real, I mean, the Niners' interest in him, you know, maybe because of the way Lloyd has played against them in recent years. You know, since 2010, he's had played four times against the 49ers, and he's had three 100-yard games. In other 36 games over that span, he's had three 100-yard games. So, obviously, the 49ers have seen him at his best. You know, they said, well, you know, let's take a look.
The 49ers have been linked to guys like Brandon Cooks, maybe Odell Beckham if he makes it that far at the end of the first round, and I've heard they have a reported interest in Allen Robinson of Penn State as well. Does the signing of Lloyd in any way change your thoughts that they may look wide receiver with that first-round pick?
I don't think so. I think at this point he's just a guy that will be competing for a roster spot. I mean, I think everyone knows that. You know, Michael Crabtree and Anquan Boldin, and even their fourth-round pick from last year, Quentin Patton, you know, are pretty much assured roster spots. And I wouldn't be surprised if they at least, you know, use two of their 11 draft picks on wide receiver, you know, potentially fairly high up. And then, you know, they have another wide receiver who's really just a special teams player, but he's still one of the best in the NFL, three-time Pro Bowler, and Kasim Osgood. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of competition there. And, you know, as mentioned, this is a guy who's going to be 33. He didn't play in the NFL last year. So, you know, I don't think anything's guaranteed for him as far as a roster spot. Obviously, he signed a one-year deal.
Eric, thanks so much.
All right, take care, man.
We go to Buffalo now. We're going to talk with Joe Biscaglia from the flagship station of the Buffalo Bills, WGR. Joe, the ownership situation is interesting. What can you tell us as far as leading candidates? We're hearing a lot about the Donald.
The Donald is certainly making the most headlines. Is he a realistic candidate? That's what everyone's trying to figure out. He has his detractors, and obviously he's playing to the crowd here in Buffalo in saying that he's not going to move the team and everything like that. But he is the only candidate that has come right out and said, hey, I want the team and I want to keep them in Buffalo. So Bills fans who were maybe hesitant on Donald Trump beforehand might be a little bit more apt to welcome him in with open arms. But the bigger question remains: would the NFL and 75% of the owners accept him as part of their one of their own? And I just don't know if that would be the case.
Who do you think right now will be the next owner of the Buffalo Bills?
Well, the Bon Jovi stuff in the Toronto group is certainly a player because they are pocketed pretty deeply. I would look at someone like Jeremy Jacobs, and I know he came out and made a statement through his company that he will not be selling the Bruins. to purchase the Bills, but he does have three sons, two of which do not have any ownership stake in the Boston Bruins, and it's very much within the realm of possibilities. You would think that that group could put together the money to not only make a pretty substantial offer at the Bills, but to keep them in Buffalo in the long term. So I think probably he's one of the Jacobs family is probably one of the best shots for the Bills to stay in Buffalo.
Yeah, and people should know a couple of things about Jeremy Jacobs in our audience. Number one, his company, Delaware North, they provide the, of course, food services for various stadiums and arenas throughout the country, throughout the world. That's how their money has been made. And number two, he's been vetted by the National Football League already as a potential buyer of the Cleveland Browns at one point. With Jacobs, with Trump, with the Bon Jovi group in Toronto, the folks who are part of the Maple Leafs people there, as you look at it, the real big issue seems to me, though, Joe, is a stadium. And I know the lease has an owner tied to Buffalo for at least 6 years. But beyond that, those are the question marks. What's the reality of, in your mind, of getting a new stadium built? Because that's really the only way this team has long-term prospect in Buffalo.
Yeah, I think that's what has to happen. And the Bills in Erie County and the state have gone as far as putting together a group to figure out the logistics of everything, where a stadium would be able to work, and just how viable it is. And you know, Niagara Falls has been thrown around by a report in the Associated Press, and there's plenty of different factors that play heavily into it. And the simple factor is this: can Buffalo support a new stadium that would likely have personal seat licensing and the kind of financial backing in terms of season tickets that would be a pretty big increase on paper from what people are paying right now? So there's plenty of issues that people have to sit through, but it, to me, for the long-term viability, you would have to think that a new stadium is a part of the plan, because Ralph Wilson Stadium has much history that surrounds that place. I think that that it's seen better days, and they'll likely have to get a new stadium to stay in Buffalo for the long term.
C.J. Spiller, a guy that a lot of people had high expectations for last year, never really materialized, had the ankle injury, didn't get the ball as much as maybe people expected, was supposedly the subject of a trade inquiry from the Philadelphia Eagles. The Bills obviously rebuked that. What do you think about, what do you make of that situation?
Well, I think it's interesting because the Spiller contract situation is one to monitor, because he has the option of opting out of the final year of his deal in 2015. And so he's essentially going into this year, which would be his contract year. I think the Bills looked at him and they like to keep a keen eye on analytics and things like that. And they tend to know that the running backs hit their peak around the age of 27, and that's right where C.J. Spiller will be when the season starts. So he could be in line for a big season, and they're going for it this year. There's no doubt about that. They have signed a lot of free agents in the offseason, and they're hoping that E.J. Manuel will be able to bring it around, and they think C.J. Spiller in that running game is the big way to be able to get E.J. Manuel to that place, or at least the offense to a good enough place where the defense can kind of hold serve and keep them going from beyond. But I think the report was interesting, but didn't have a lot to it, just because the Bills aren't thinking about dealing Spiller this offseason. There's no way.
And, Joe, what do you see the Bills doing with the 9th overall pick of the draft?
Probably a tackle. I know it's the media-driven one, but it makes the most sense. It has the most value, and considering Doug Marrone's background as an offensive line coach and a former offensive lineman in the NFL, you would have to think that Jake Matthews, if he falls, would be the favorite to go at 9th overall. But if he doesn't, then you look at a guy like Taylor Lewan out of Michigan. Finally, fill out that right tackle role, which has kind of been in flux for the past few years, and go from there. But I think the tackle is the most likely. Some fans are looking for the tight end, Ebron, out of North Carolina. But the way this offense and this team has been built through the past couple of years, I would tend to think it's an offensive tackle.
Joe, thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Thank you for being with us. All right, talking Bills, 49ers. That was our blitz around the National Football League. When we come back, it's time to play the game. Sweep it. The Nation. After. further review. Nathan Zagura, Vic Rucci. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.